One of the common bear descriptions that is given is one that at the physical level we are a dynamic, we are an interaction of a variety of elements. In the classical texts from the past, Buddhist era, this is defined as the earth element, which we experience as human beings. In the experience of the earth, we experience it as a certain hardness or softness. The air element, we experience it as a certain expansion and contraction, such as when we breathe in, we feel some cellular expansion of the cells as the air enters the lungs and contraction. We experience the heat element, of course, there's a variety of temperatures, and those temperatures may range, of course, from hot to warm to cool to cold, sometimes inside the body, sometimes out or the edges of the body. And that we also experience the water element, and the water element contributes to, can experience it as some kind of flow, such as the blood flowing through our veins, sometimes beads of sweat running down the body, and of course the regular pilgrimage to the toilet for another kind of flow. So all of this contributes, and there are these four essential elements interacting with each other. Two other elements are important that the Buddha referred to. One is the space element, really precious element as well, of course. Sometimes in our meditations, particularly when there is some calm and clarity, we genuinely can experience some real inner space. Not tension, not pressure, not stress, we just feel some clear space inside of ourselves. And in that space, which is established inside of ourselves, it gives and allows, through that space, some opportunity for things which you and I may need to attend to. It may give the opportunity as well for some insights to emerge, for the creative idea, for fresh flows of energy, and also the appreciation as well for the outer space, the space around us, the space between us, the space between thoughts, the space which allows things to move. And all of that is confirmed, and only can be confirmed, through consciousness. So consciousness is also regarded as another element. So one of the ways to describe this experience on the earth is to see in a very bare sense of things, of consciousness influencing the elemental life, and the elemental life also and correspondingly influencing and making its impact on consciousness. And this dynamic is taking place for us day in and day out. One of the values in looking in this way, it does contribute to the reduction of the personal story. It contributes to some reduction in the ego of I, me and my, and it's learning to see and develop a practice, a seeing or meditation, which is rather closer to the bare actuality. It's not something you and I have made up. There is consciousness. The confirmation of consciousness is that we can be conscious of. There is the of. The of, in this case, are the elements. Earth element experienced as hardness or softness. Air element experienced as movement. The wind through the trees, the breath coming into the being and going out. The heat element, and there's plenty of that around here. Each morning I wake up and I thought, surely today it's going to be cooler. I got incredibly confident this morning and maybe wildly optimistic and put on a waist jacket as a kind of encouragement for the weather to lower the temperature, etc. So there's the earth element, the air element, the heat element, and the water element. And clearly the water element is vitally important for human survival, as the other elements are, and gives nourishment to the cells, to the whole being. So the first tetrad, that's the first group of four in the mindfulness of breathing, discourse of the Buddha, does give primary interest to this bare experience of consciousness engaged or interacting with the elements, and of course, as mentioned, recognition of space as well. Sometimes we do need to sit, and we can get in the meditation, it's one of the shadows of meditation, rather contracted. This contraction can take place in our meditations if we are using a lot of willpower, if we are trying and pushing ourselves to reach a particular goal, or we're trying to stop ourselves feeling or being in touch with something, it can contribute to contraction. So an antidote to contraction is the mindfulness or the consciousness of the space element. And so sometimes if we're feeling ourselves getting tight, reacting, putting pressure, it can be very useful to expand the consciousness, which means the mindfulness in this case, and just experience the space around us. Feel the sense of space. There's lots and lots of space around us, and there's plenty of space in the hall just above our heads. And so far in the field of dependent arising, there's been absolutely no success in this world of human beings levitating off the ground, despite the rather appalling efforts of TM. So in the meditations, apologies for you, all you TM wallers here, in the meditations that take place there, the general encouragement is, as the single thread running through, is the mindfulness of breathing. Remember, it's mindfulness of breathing, rather important here. It's not meditation on watching the rise and fall of the abdomen, though it can be a genuinely good meditation. It's not putting the attention on a particular spot in the body, such as the tip of the nose, also a good and valid meditation. But in keeping trust with the experience and with the instructions, very simple from the Buddha, extremely clear, and a very solid foundation of reason behind it. Mindfully breathing in, you and I, we feel the experience of the air element coming into the body, and mindfully breathing out. And then there's a little extra instruction which contributes to a little bit more sharpness, a little bit more clarity. This is important in many other areas, we'll touch upon another time. And to make it a little bit more sharp and a little bit more clear, one is mindful when the breath is long. Long, a long breath. That long breath may come without the intention. We're just sitting and we're just getting the posture. We breathe in and the body naturally, organically, biologically, what other words can I use? Evolutionary or whatever, needs to take a long in breath. We may not even know why, but we just find ourselves, I find myself sometimes, taking a long in breath. And we release the air, so there is correspondingly a long out breath, and we're just staying in touch with this very raw, normal, healthy, everyday experience of a human being sitting on the earth, breathing in and breathing out. Then, the next instruction, rather precise, and that instruction is, while experiencing the body, so we're not putting our attention on the tip of the nose, we're not putting it on the rise and fall of the abdomen, but we're breathing in, and the interest is to breathe in, can I experience, as I breathe in, the whole of the body? Sometimes when we breathe in, we just feel the air element going through the nose, down through the throat, and perhaps entering into the lungs, and perhaps that may seem, at the time, the primary locality of experience of the breath. Not trying to force the willpower, okay? When I breathe in and when I breathe out, I just feel the breath coming in here and going out there, and it may seem like it's not affecting the rest of the body. I don't feel the influence of the air through the body. If I'm quietly patient, and especially if I'm bringing in that extra instruction from the Buddha of calming the body as I breathe in and out, as calmness enters into the body, it brings a more subtle, refined perception. And the outcome of that is I will experience naturally more of the air element touching upon more and more of the cells. The air element does reach the cells. It reaches all of the cells there. If it did not reach the cells, those cells would die because they wouldn't get the oxygen. So the inhalation of air element, of oxygen, and the release of it does touch. Consciousness is developing a calmness to have the capacity to, in fact, it's a practice, remember, to experience the whole body from the top of the head down to the toes, breathing in and breathing out. It's a total event. The important thing is that we don't push ourselves, because that will create stress and pressure and control and contraction. So we do need to be quietly patient with ourselves, feel this extraordinary, and it is extraordinary event, of the organism of life breathing in and breathing out, and this extraordinary factor that consciousness can see and know clearly this experience. To me, that's really cool. That we can sit on this earth and be a conscious human being and be quite clear that this organism called the body, called elemental life, infused with consciousness, is alive, is breathing, is made up of the elements, and is completely reliant on consciousness to know it's going on. And when consciousness goes, the elements of the body begin to dissolve, it's death. Quite something. One of the values of these teachings, amongst many aspects of the values, as I mentioned very briefly earlier, we're not so much involved in the story, though our stories are important. We're not here to reject the stories at all. The Buddha's own personal story is probably, on this earth, probably, if I put it in pop star categories here, in the top 10 of the most famous human stories. The guy was a prince. He left home. He ran away from his responsibilities as a father and a husband and as heir to the throne. He engaged in the search, and he got awakened. He got enlightened. It's a very, very famous story. It caught the imagination there. So the stories, genuinely, human stories, your story and my story, genuinely can be really valuable really important. If we're just experiencing, as we are speaking about here, conscious life with the elements, and allowing ourselves to experience that deeply, it will give a very fresh perspective and contribute to a balanced perspective on our story. Our stories, through identification with the stories, has become a shadow of what it means to be human, of consciousness, of the elements, of space and earth and heat and water, etc. It's overshadowing the raw material that makes up everybody's life. Our practice is to get in touch with that, with a certain trust. It will help to get the proper perspective on our story from birth to death there, which we may need, as the Buddha did with himself, share with others, come to more understanding about. So, mindfulness of breathing in and out. Be mindful of the breath when it's long. Be mindful of the breath if it's short. Be mindful of the breath if it's, so we say, somewhere there, so between the long and the short, and just experiencing the breathing and bringing, it's not easy, but a quiet relaxation to the body, a calming of the body. To notice the areas of calmness of the body. And the noticing of the areas of the calmness of the body will help the non-calm areas actually to stand out a little bit more. Where there is some pain in the body, some contraction, some tightness in the shoulders, the hands are rather holding tight together, the pulling of a muscle or whatever. As the calmness comes, and as we experience the calmness, the uncalm areas will stand out in the body, those locations. And then we have our practice there. Can I bring and direct and expand the general sense of calmness into those areas which feel stressed or painful or tense? Always giving oneself the space element, and in this case, the space element is giving oneself the space to change the posture. Some people have got this woolly idea, I think probably get a sense of what woolly means, that if I sit longer and longer, because Joe Bloggs on the throne has told me so, then I'll get deeper and deeper. No evidence between time and depth. And if I really sit longer and longer, then I'll sit through my pain. Well, I've met some foolish people who have bought into this foolish belief system and have put damage on their knees there, put in unsatisfactory and very unhealthy pressures of their mind because they adopted a belief system. So we need to, in our experience, genuinely, quietly listen to ourselves. If it feels that there is too much pain in some location or locations in the body, and we just feel we're fighting ourselves, then, if that is starting, mindfully breathing in, mindfully breathing out, and mindfully moving the posture. That might mean stretching out the legs to let the blood and energy flow a bit more freely. It might be bending your back. It might be changing the posture and going to a standing posture. So use the space for yourself and just change the posture, and if it feels appropriate, at some point in the sitting, do come back to the original posture. So changing the posture is not running away from it. It's not escape, it's not denial or avoidance. It's just a quiet coming back to the original posture. There. Finally, with the other three postures, much the same, taking place. So, with the walking meditation, a little more emphasis on the contact with the feet with the ground. sometimes there is such a relief at getting out of the Dharma hall there that the only thing that one wants to go and do is look at oneself in the mirror. And it's not the place, best place to look at oneself, I have to say, there, especially when you get older. And so the looking at ourself here is really looking at ourself. If possible, it's not easy, to really make good use of the other postures. There is a tendency in our world, Dharma world, Buddhist world, or whatever you want to call it, to give too much emphasis on the sitting posture. All these Buddha images don't help. So when you leave the hall, and if it's a walking time, rather than 20 people walking and 40 people in the bathroom, if it could be reversed a little bit, so that there is a real dedication and commitment to the walking. And the reason that I mention this is that sometimes found for myself, and perhaps you do too, that one actually doesn't feel like walking, sitting. And therefore, walking and walking up and down, and a few people, rather a lot, actually over the years, and also with myself, that sometimes, if there is an issue or a story that's going on, just seems like sitting in a pressure cooker on the cushion. So, say, okay, sitting's not working for you, I've got so much stuff going on, let me change. And so some people, I just encourage them, just walk up and down, and walk up and down, and to whatever's going on in your story, you have literally walked up and down till you walk through it. And if that takes 1 hour, consider it as divine intervention. And if it takes 2 hours or 3 hours of just walking up and down, and eventually you keep walking up and down, and you actually get the feeling, no guarantee, but you get the feeling of you're out the other side. And walking up and down meditation, might be slow, medium speed, normal speed of walking. Just walk up and down, walk up and down. So you're staying close to it, walk up and down, walk up and down. And sometimes you think, whew, wow. And one's out of it. So the walking meditations and the standing meditations are genuinely a really great practice. So not surprisingly, the Buddha frequently refer to sitting, walking, standing, and reclining frequently, numerous, countless times. A little bit of the reason behind that is the shift in the priorities was very radical. In dear old Mother India, which I know only too well, the yogis would sit, and some still do, and sit, waiting for one single profound experience, and that would confirm moksha, or enlightenment, or liberation, or whatever. So you sit and sit for a big, transcendent, beyond experience, and then they had got it. This is a common view of the yogis. The Buddha shifted the priority away from that to wisdom, to a liberating wisdom about life. It was a radical change, and a good one. All right, enough from me. Let's have a little sitting together for 10-15 minutes.